Amen. Let the church say amen. You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it should be our continuous understanding that when we feel weak, we ought to figure out how to praise God and let the joy of the Lord come. And I believe that in the joy of the Lord, God will give us strength for the journey that lies ahead of us. So we bless God today for this choir. Sister Marianne said she may have needed a little help to sing that song. Well, the Lord gave her the help she needed to sing it. Amen. And we've got some gifted men and women, anointed men and women. Thank God for Tracy and Betty and all the musicians and all the choir members and all of you who helped lift up the name of the Lord Jesus in song today. God is good, isn't he? All the time. God is good. And we bless him today. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the Gospel of St. Matthew. As you're turning there, I want you to turn to chapter number 5 and then chapter number 7. We're going to look at two scriptures today. But as you're turning there, I just want to continue to just pray for the members of our church who are bereaved this week. We've learned that not that there's just three funerals. We've learned of a fourth funeral was not announced earlier. And we just want to lift these families up and ask God's continued strength upon them. We want to keep Sister Jackie Stevenson and family lifted up as her mother, Jacqueline Letlow, will be eulogized tomorrow at the Grace Community Church on West State Street. We want to keep the family, the Henderson and Carmichael family, lifted up. Elise Carmichael's dad sadly and suddenly passed on from labor to reward. His homegoing service will be on this Thursday at 10 a.m. at the Union Baptist Church. And then we got word also from Brother Teal, Wayne Teal and family, that his uncle, the late Lorenzo Fletcher, passed from labor, and his homegoing service will be on Friday at the Hughes Funeral Home. In addition to these are the ones here in the greater Trenton area. We want to keep Sister Geraldine Jarman lifted up. We got word that her brother, Anthony Jerome Smalls, transitioned from this life on May 1st at the UMass Medical Center in Marlborough, Massachusetts. And his homegoing service will be the 13th, I believe, in Goose Creek, South Carolina. So keep these families lifted up in prayer. The Lord is able to keep us when we cannot keep ourselves. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 17, verse number 19 reads as follows. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then if you go over to verse 24 of chapter number 7, the Bible reads in that one verse, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Here is the reading of God's divine word, may edify and sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, Whoever. Whoever. Look at you, grab one of your neighbor's hands and just look them in the eye, and I want you to repeat this phrase after me. And if you don't have someone on, just choose a side. Amen. And just look them in the eye. Folks trying to figure out how to look at both people at the same time. I know you were. I saw you. Look at one of them and say, God wants to use whoever to reach whomever so that somebody might live forever. Whoever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings upon these words, that they would not return void, that they may accomplish that which you intended. May minds be illuminated, hearts be encouraged, souls be convicted, we pray. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Let the anointing fall fresh, for it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Break some yokes right now. Break some chains right now. Break some bondage right now. Deliver somebody. Free somebody. Liberate somebody. Draw somebody out of darkness into the marvelous light. Have your way, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people say amen, amen, and amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. God bless you. God keep you is our prayer. Usher, you may be seated. Beloved, today I want to talk about God's desire to call anyone and everyone into his kingdom. That word whoever is used multiple times in this fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Those who read the Gospel of St. Matthew know that you can't talk about Matthew's Gospel without talking about the Sermon on the Mount. In point of fact, some version of the Sermon on the Mount is repeated in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But particularly, it is Matthew's Gospel that captures what we classically call the entirety of Jesus' Sermon on the Mountainside. And it is that Sermon on the Mountainside. If you look in verse number 1 of chapter number 5, the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him." And so therefore, it is classically called the Sermon on the Mount, because of that first verse that said while he was on the mountainside that his disciples came to him. Now, it does not mention how many disciples came to Jesus. It does not mention if it was just the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples whom we now have classically called the 12 apostles. It does not mention whether it was just the 70 disciples, because that is another number that is mentioned very clearly in Scripture, both the 12 disciples who became apostles and then the 70 whom he sent out two by two. It does not give any qualification on the number, nor does it give any qualification on the constituents in that number. It does not say that it was all men. It does not say it was all women. It does not say whether it was younger crowd, a older crowd. It does not say whether these were people with means or these were people in poverty. It does not say any of that. It does not say whether they spoke with one tongue or multiple tongues. It does not say whether their dialect was different from their neighbor's dialect, because it is clear that the region from which you come will help determine your dialect. There is something called a southern dialect, if you would, even in these United States of America. There's something called a New York dialect. Amen. The O becomes kind of an R in the York, New York, right? They tell me I even have a dialect from the West Coast. A little bit. I don't know. I never heard it because I don't hear myself. Amen. Yet the fact of the matter is there is no qualifications that we discern. There is no distinctions that we discern on the number or the people who came to hear Jesus. And that's important, beloved, because when the Bible says whoever, I take Jesus at his word that he really meant whoever. I know we're not supposed to use a word to define a word, but the best word that I can think of that Jesus meant whoever is really whoever. We might colloquialize it to say whosoever. Amen, somebody. Y'all from certain parts of the country might use that phrase. Whosoever wants to come, let him come. But Jesus is very clear that there is no qualifications on who is the recipient of this invitation. And part of the fact, it says he mentions the word whoever not once, not twice, but upwards to seven, if not eight times in the first chapter that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, we read this verse, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments. Shout it out with me, whoever. And it goes on in the middle, but whoever, say it again, whoever. Whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Go down to verse number 22. But I say to you that what? Whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Racha, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Go on over to verse number 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Go down to verse 31. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. And go down to verse number 41. It says, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. And you get the point that Jesus makes several statements about this, using this word, whoever. And so when looking at Jesus' statements of whoever, it again reminds me that there are no qualifications to be made on the people or the person to whom Jesus is addressing his commandments and his teachings. Whoever receives this word, whoever wants to come, let him come. And so Jesus at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is essentially saying that if you're going to follow me, you've got to be different than those out there in the world. But when you go out there in the world, don't judge those in the world. Don't worry about being like them in the world. Just be who I've called you to be. For if you know who you are and whose you are, everything else will work itself out all right. Do I have a witness here today that anybody know that if they just be who God wants you to be and be what God wants you to be, that God will fight the battle and take care of the problem and deal with the enemy? Whoever. God puts no qualifications on to whom he is speaking. Similarly, Moses in the New Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, he calls and gathers the people of God together, the Israelites, before they go into the promised land. And he says unto them, you Israelites, before you go over into Cana and get among the Canaanites, you've got to know that you've got to be different. I expect something different from you Israelites than I do from the Canaanites. The Canaanites don't know me, but you Israelites say you know me. And if you say you know me, then you've got to be different than the Canaanites. If God says to Moses to tell the people that before they go into the world, and if Jesus tells his disciples that before they go into the world, how much more do you think the same thing applies to you and to me in 2017? That before, as we go into the world, you've got to make sure that you know that you are different. You can't talk like everybody else talk. You can't walk like everybody else walk. You can't go where everybody else go. You can't think the way everybody else think. You can't wear what everybody else wear. You may not drive what everybody else drive. You ought not drink what everybody else drink. You ought not smoke what everybody else smoke. There ought to be something different about you. Gotta be something different about you. Otherwise, just don't be what everybody else is. But if he's called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, there ought to be something different. If he picked you up way down, put your feet on solid, there ought to be something different. If he's made a way out of no way, there ought to be something different. You ought to have a different testimony. You ought not do the same thing that everybody else does. They ought to be, look, everybody else are like the rocks, but you ought not let a rock cry out for you. You've got to be different. Jesus makes the case clear and clarion that if you're going to be my disciples, you've got to be different. Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Jesus, you are the light of the world. You don't light your light and hide it under a bushel. You've got to be different. You are the salt of the earth. If salt has lost its savor, then it is no good but to be trampled underfoot. You've got to be different. Use the gifts that God has given you to be different in the world. You've got to preserve those who need preservation. You've got to encourage those who need encouragement. You've got to help those who need help. You've got to push those who need a little push. You need to pull those who need a little pull. You've got to be different. You've got to be different. And then he goes on to amplify his teachings. Whoever, no qualifications. And I'm convinced part of what Jesus is saying in the text is that you ought not block other people from getting what God has for them, and you ought not block yourself from getting what God has for you. How many of you know what God has for you is for you? And don't let anybody else try to rob you of what God has for you. Don't let anybody try to steal what God has for you. Don't let anybody take your joy that God has given unto you. You ought to have a testimony in your spirit. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I've got to get what God has for me, and I'm going to press on and get people out of my way, because I want to get what God has for me. And so we the people of God must wrestle with what this means for us to not block other people. Now, I know some of us think we're so holy and sanctified. How dare you suggest, Pastor, that I would even dare block somebody else's blessings? How dare you insinuate that I might stand in the way of people getting what God has for them?
Well, you may not think you do, but somebody is. Because I've spoken to many young boys and girls who think they can come into the Shiloh Baptist Church because their heads on, their hats on crooked and their pants are too low. But I just stopped by to tell somebody, we ought not stop in the way or get in the way of somebody trying to get to Jesus, even because they don't come with our standards. Come on, somebody. He said, whoever, that means the boy whose hat is on backwards, whoever means the girl whose clothes are wrapped too tight around her body, that means the crack addict who's still dealing with his addiction, whoever comes, let him come into the house of the Lord. That means that little boy, that little girl who's acting out because they just saw some domestic violence go on in their house last week, or they're dealing with toxic, traumatic stress and nobody has helped them to deal with what they're dealing with. We don't know where people have been. That's why you ought to get out of the way and let them get close to God. He didn't just say to save people, let them come. He didn't just say to sanctify people, let them come. And part of the fact, before any of us got saved, the Holy Ghost filled and sanctified. We were out there in the world. You may have been younger out in the world. You may have even been older out in the world. Fact of the matter is, we all did not come out the womb with a Bible in our hand. We were born into sin and shaped by iniquity. And at some point in your life, God had to dust you off, straighten you out, clean you up, in order for you to get to where you think you are right now. I know you got a nice suit on, brother. I know you got a nice dress on, sister. I know you got a nice hat on, deaconess. But you have not always been a deaconess. You haven't always been a deacon. You haven't always been an usher. You haven't always sang in the choir. You haven't always been on the door. You haven't always been an announcer. I haven't always been a preacher. Whoever, get out the way of folks who God want to bring into the kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe and ascribe to the statement, come as you are. Right? But I don't believe you stay as you are. When you come as you are, you bring all your stuff with you. But if you hang around the gospel long enough, the Holy Ghost will begin to work on you. Come on, somebody. If you hang around the word long enough, the Holy Ghost will begin to work on you. If you hang around the sanctified folk long enough, the Holy Ghost will begin to work on you. Our job is to get out the way of the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost does. Don't stop him at the door. Don't stop him at the steps. You ought to say, come on in, brother. Come on in, sister. The church is a hospital where you can come to get well. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever been sick and God healed your body? Made a way out of no way? Come on, somebody. You all have not always been. And I believe that when we, the people of God, ascribe to the whoever philosophy, the whoever theology, the whoever ecclesiology, the whoever pneumatology, the whoever martyrology, the whoever, whatever ology you want to put on it. If you let God do what God wants to do, God will work it out. Our job is to invite them in. Come on into the house of prayer. Come on into the tabernacle of praise. I want you to praise them like I'm praising them. And even if you don't praise them like I'm praising them, go ahead and don't worry about my praise. You just go ahead and do what God has called you to do. But you don't let nobody else dictate your praise. Jesus says, whoever does these things shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever doesn't teach and don't do these things shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. So the question is not so much about great or least. I just want to be in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not trying to be a big eye in the kingdom. If I can just get in the kingdom, that's all I want. Look. Now, I'm trying to make 100. 99 and a half ain't gonna do. I just want to get into the kingdom. I just want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful. I can be in the back of the line. This is the one time I don't mind being in the back of the bus as long as I get in. But I don't even think Jesus was suggesting greater or least. He was suggesting this notion that he who does his word shall receive the gifts that he has to offer. And those who don't do his word won't receive the gifts he has to offer. And I don't know about you, beloved, but I want to get what Jesus is offering me. I know we talk about a crown and talk about a robe and talk about sitting around the throne of God's grace. I want to get what Jesus is offering me. We ought not block other folk from getting what Jesus wants to offer them. So I firmly believe that if we get out the way and that whoever come in, that God, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost will do the rest of what needs to be done. And I'm saying a hard word to some of us because they may not smell the way we smell. They may not dress the way we dress. They may not do what we want them to do at the appropriate time that we think it ought to be done. But if God had patience on me, if God looked beyond my faults and saw my needs, you ought to look beyond somebody else's fault and give them another chance and let God do the rest. Do I have a witness here today that God wants to save somebody, that God wants to change everybody, that God wants to do it for anybody, but you've got to get out of somebody's way? So I firmly believe that the front end of the Sermon on the Mount is about this universal acceptance. God is not concerned. God is not a respecter of people. Not a respecter of our degrees and our experiences and our background and our what you've done for God as if you're doing God a favor. You don't do God a favor. God has done you the most infinite favor that you ever could imagine. There's nothing we can give back to God to pay for the favor that he has given us. There's nothing we can do to God to repay the favor that he's given to us. There's no amount of money we can give back to God to repay the favor. Best we can do is to do our best to be obedient to that word to the best of our ability. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now that I've posited the thought and the position that we ought not block other folk, let me now suggest and turn my attention to the idea that we ought not block ourselves. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks in chapter 7, verse 24. He uses that word again, whoever. Chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, meaning whatever I've said before now, I want to sum it up right now. Therefore, everything I've told you in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and the first part of chapter 7, I'm now about to put a bow on it and wrap it up and give it to you in final formation. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, listen now, it's not just about hearing them, it's about doing them. Whoever hears and do these sayings of mine shall be like a wise man or woman who built his house on the rock. Verse 25, and when the rain came down and the floods began to rise and the winds began to blow and beat on that house, that house did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. That lets me know that at the end of the day, that if I, not my neighbor, but me, I can't control my wife. All I can do is control me. I can train up my children in the way that they should go, but they've got to make their own decision. I can't control my brother or my sister. I can't control my mama or my daddy. I can only control me. And if I build my house upon God's rock, if I stay on God's promises, if I take God at his word, if I lean not to my own understanding, if I acknowledge him, if I get on my knees, if I go into my prayer closet, if I open up my mouth, if I lift up my head, if I forgive my enemies, if I come to church, if I tithe my money, if I trust in the Lord, then God will take care of everything that comes against me. The waters may rise, the winds may blow, but my house is built on the rock. My house won't go anywhere. My house will stand firm. My house will not fall down. When I think about this text, I am reminded of the things that will come up against my house. It's not just wind. It's not just water. It's not just earthquake, natural disaster. But when the backbiters start to come, my house is built on the rock. When the knives come out and the backstabbers never start stabbing. My house is built on the rock. When the naysayers start doubting and the underminers start pulling the rug from under you, my house, do I have a witness today? My house is built on the rock. When the devil rears his ugly head, my house is built on a rock. Let me help somebody else. When the doctor tells me that I've got cancer, my house is built on a rock. When that job tells me I no longer have a job and I've got a pink slip, my house is built on the rock. The rock that says he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Come on, somebody. My house is built on the rock. And sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, because we doubt what God is trying to do in us. We doubt whether we're capable, able enough. So therefore, because I'm a woman, because I'm young, because I'm black, because I don't have degrees, because I don't this and that, I need you to know that God specializes in using people who don't have this and who don't have that. Little old David was just a shepherd boy. All he had was 5 smooth stones and a slingshot. But how many of you know it only takes 1 rock in the hand of God to slay your giant? Do I have a witness here today? The little boy only had a couple of barley loaves and some fish. But God, Jesus, took the fish and the bread and multiplied it and fed 5,000 people. Has God done anything for anybody in here where he specializes? In doing the miraculous. Jesus says, whoever does these things, God will secure him or her upon the rock. And I believe that many of us are truncating and forfeiting the blessings that God wants to give you because you're putting excuses in the way of letting God do what God wants to do. You may not block other folk, but you may be blocking yourself. And Jesus says you don't have to have it all together. Whoever does these things, I will anchor him or her. And I'm so glad it's not about my ability, but it's about my availability. Lord, I am available. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to sing what you want me to sing. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to preach what you want me to preach. I'm going to dance where you want me to dance. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Not knowing what the end is going to be, but knowing that he who holds the end in his hand will make everything work out for my benefit and for the glory of Almighty God. I hope someone is listening to me today. I hope that you don't block somebody else's blessings, but I hope you get out of the way of blocking your own blessings, because God wants to take you somewhere, but the only way you can get there is by letting go and letting God and say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to do. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be. I'm ready to do. I'm ready, Lord. That ultimately is what I believe Jesus, how he ends the Sermon on the Mountainside. Whoever does these things shall be anchored on the rock, so that when the winds blow, the water rise, and the things come against you, you shall be anchored on the steady rock, which I believe is Jesus our Christ. God bless you, saints. God keep you is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let the church say amen. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help us extend the invitation to discipleship. We want to share the good news of the Lord Jesus with someone. Invite someone to consider letting go and letting God and getting out the way. I don't know who needed to hear this word. I pray everybody did. But that all of us would understand what it means to let God have God's way and let him fight the rest of it. And so I want to offer the invitation to someone today. Number one, if you want to join our church, this is the time where we will invite you to do that. But more importantly than the membership is the relationship with God. God is beckoning someone to let go and trust him. And I want you to get out your way. Just get up and let God have the rest of it. Get out your way and say, Lord, I'm surrendering it today. I'm giving it over to you. As we pray before the choir sings, let's ask God's blessings upon this invitation. Father, I thank you for your word, because your word is real, your word is true, your word is living, your word is powerful. And I pray, oh God, that your word would not return void today, that somebody may receive what you're offering. Oh Lord Jesus, we are grateful today that you demonstrate to us that no matter what manner of force comes against us, that God will anchor us upon the rock. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, do that for someone today. Save somebody. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen and amen. The invitation is extended. The invitation.